conventionality. Doesn't cut it anymore. Not in medical images, not on web pages, and not in maps. In this episode of Celebrate Software Research at Watson, IBM computer scientist Dan Kaufman talks about the work that he and his colleagues in the Multilingual Analytics and User Technologies group are doing on a project called Org Maps, which tells you not only where individuals sit, but also what projects they're working on and who in the world they collaborate with.
My name is Dan Kaufman. I'm a researcher here in Hawthorne, and I've been with IBM for 11 years. This project has wound up with the name of Org Maps, shorthand for organizational maps. It became obvious to us and to a lot of other people that Google had provided a really nice substrate when it introduced Google Maps a couple of years ago. This made mapping a really good interactive interface that people could use for building applications. There were some that became quite well known. Somebody in Chicago plotted all the incidences of various crimes on a map for the city and looked for interesting statistics using that. The idea was then that you could use this map substrate to make new applications. On the other hand, not everything is a map. We collaborate with people all over the world, and sometimes it's very difficult to know who those people's colleagues are, who their managers are, what other projects they might be associated with. So we began looking at this idea of an organizational chart as another substrate. In this case, sort of logically equivalent to Google Maps, but not the same, not a topological map, but a hierarchical one. Org Maps is just a way of visualizing a large organization. A sort of classical way of doing that would be using a tree or a graph structure. The primary difference here between a classical graph or tree structure and what you would see in Org Map is the use of what's called an icicle plot. That is a plot in which the width of an individual is proportional to the number of individuals below that individual. So John Kelly has a very wide box since there's a lot of people who report to him, but a lower line manager will have a box which is somewhat narrower. Things are situated directly above and below their relevant parties in the hierarchy. Now, nothing limits this to people as individuals. Recently, I was privileged to attend the ACM programming competition in Banff, Canada. And as an example, I chose to visualize the participants in the competition. The interesting things were not only the individuals, but their universities and their countries. So here, the hierarchy that I chose was really the continent, the country, the university, and then the individuals. And from that, you could see some information just right off the bat. In particular, you'd see that North America and Asia were the two most heavily represented continents in the finals of the competition. Another thing which we are working on is looking at products. Imagine that you're a vendor, you have a large number of products, they rely on a large number of other vendors for parts. Now, how do you find a suspect part? How do you find something that may be failing at a rate which is too high or higher than you would expect? This is actually very difficult if you just look at a whole bunch of spreadsheets or whatever, but in this case, you'd be able to look for clumpings among defect reports for various products, being able to then try to find perhaps some part which needs to be redesigned. There really were two technical challenges in this project. One is simply the delivery of the information in a distributed way, particularly in a web platform. We found that we needed to create hundreds, if not thousands, of objects on the screen and be able to interact with them in some kind of a timely manner. Many people have technologies that allow the use of a few objects on the screen, maybe a few dozen objects on the screen. A few thousand became unusual, and we had to discover some techniques for handling that. The other was simply that we didn't wish to have a substrate which was confined to a particular type of individual. If you think about a map, a topological map, it really only describes things which are in physical locations, and the only fundamental data of importance is logically the latitude and longitude of that particular thing. Well, we didn't have that luxury. We needed to have the data be used in such a way that it was able not only to describe its position within the hierarchy, but then it also could describe how it wished to be represented when it was extracted for a detailed presentation. We will be deploying this very soon for the laboratory here. We hope to discover that this has some really good social value within the Web 2.0 context. What we would like to do is to be able to allow individual users to annotate what they find in a way that's useful to them, or to share those annotations with their colleagues. They might wish to make private annotations. This person knows this. This is the person I go to when I have a question about this particular subject. Also, they might wish to use this to look for correlations and to save them. If you want to say this particular group of people has published a whole bunch of patents together, that's something else which we do support. You might say, you know, well, if I have a question on this particular subject, this is the group of people that I would like to go to. It isn't just a single individual, but then an annotation or a tag referring to a group of individuals, and those can be separately saved and shared with others as well.
You've been listening to Celebrate Software Research at Watson, an IBM podcast.